BBC London 94.9.
Late Night with Joe Good.
Well, it's not just me. It's me, my colleague Anna Webb. We are barking at the moon, and our very, very special guest this evening is P. Horsley, animal communicator and also author of Heart to Heart, her latest book. P, on Saturday, when I got back, is that right? What did you say?
No, it is
Heart to Heart.
It is my latest book. It's also my only book.
Oh, is it? How honest. I got back from your workshop on Saturday and I read it from cover to cover. Only because, having met you, I thought I need to know exactly how you got into this. And I was really fascinated because I knew nothing about the theatrical background at all. And I was really fascinated because there's a link actually to something that we're talking about tonight, which is this guy. I mean, girls, you don't even have to pretend to be interested in football, but there's a guy.
I'm not.
Well, Wayne Bridge has said he's not going to play for England, right?
Right.
When this is like the best, I said it would be like me saying I'm not going to do the Wogan show because of such and such. You would like doing really well, but you knew P that you wanted to go into this area. But Pinter, there was a Pinter play that was on offer at the Royal Court. Was it the Royal Court?
Royal Court, yeah. Crap's Last Tape.
Exactly. Now this is I say exactly, but to work with Pinter is probably the best it can get.
Huge, actually, in
your line of work. And you seriously, and I do this all the time, I think, right, I could give all this up just to be with dogs, that's all. And you seriously thought, I might just not do that job, I might just stick now at what I am learning and that I am passionate about, didn't you?
It was even stronger than that, though. When I went to the second animal communication workshop, I knew then instantly that I was going to do animal communication for the rest of my life. It wasn't... shall I or shan't I decision, actually. It was much more a light bulb moment for me.
And are you pleased you made that decision?
Absolutely.
Right, let's just, for anyone that's wondering, and I'm sure you are, because I was, weren't you, Anna? What is it all about?
Yes, totally. Well, I found it really interesting reading Sheldrake, Rupert Sheldrake, just before I also read Heart to Heart. So it was fabulous, such a natural progression and quite a coincidence. It was wonderful, and we believe in coincidences. And it's lovely to see how his theory that telepathic communication can happen, he's proved it scientifically, between the dog to the human. So really your book is taking his findings just that one step further and allowing the human to communicate with the dog or the cat or the horse. And so it's just in the other direction, and believing what Sheldrake says, if we are all connected via morphic fields, then that would make sense, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's exactly the same. What he talks about in his book is exactly what I'm doing. I'm connecting energetically with animals, using my intuition, using my senses. So I'm sensing their emotions, their feelings, any physical aches and pains they've got.
Right.
I'm also energetically receiving images from them, which I see in my mind, which is just like those pictures we see when we're dreaming.
Right.
And the next step that some people might find hard to understand is that I also hear words, I hear their thoughts in my mind. And that's the bit people might question, which I did at the beginning for quite a while. How do you tell the difference between the information coming from them or you making it up?
Yes.
But over time, you there is a subtle difference. As a beginner, it's impossible really to know the difference, but there is a subtle difference. So I'm doing all those things in exactly the same way that Rupert Sheldrake talks about.
For anyone listening who's got pets, when would you be needed? When would you need this to be taught, this communication? Or is it something you need all the time once you have an animal in your life?
I think it's a wonderful thing to learn, so that when you've got an animal at home, if there's any issue at all, emotional, physical, behavioural, issues of dying and death, those sort of issues, even contacting them when they've passed over, you would be able to do this. Or you could just use it on a really general level, like you could say, you know, do you want to go to this part today or do you want to go there? Do you fancy, you know, liver and bacon today or do you want chicken and rice? You know, on a really, you know, practical level.
Now, I'm going to, for anyone that are interested in this workshop or want to know what happens in these workshops, because Anna and I travelled down to Ruislip and to this, I loved the hall, first of all. I absolutely loved the hall. I love halls with tea urns
and a kitchen.
And it was just lovely. And we arrived I mean, it freaked me out for the whole weekend, actually. I was on Sunday, I was like floating around all over the place. We arrived midway through the day, so everyone was very focused when we arrived. Now, anyone that listens to Anna and I, we are manic, the two of us, and when we're together, we're both extremely manic. And we came bursting through the kitchen, and I and P had said to me, she'd invited me, she said, would you like to bring Matilda as a teacher? And I just thought, what do you mean Matilda is the teacher? Surely you're the teacher and you're going to teach me about Matilda. Mm. But you were specific. You went, no, Matilda will teach us. And, you know, bulldogs, as I always say, are not the sharpest knives in the drawer.
Rubbish,
but Matilda, and this is what I'm going to say to any sceptics out there, and you can take this, you can say, right, Jo has finally flipped, you know, this is now, she's been given her own show and she's exploiting every single minute of it. But this is what happened, right? I go in and Matilda, for a start, and it's, we've received an email very similar to this about, she became instantly quiet with you. She sat and looked at you as you were looking at her, which is something most dogs don't do when they're in a very strange environment. They're usually all over the place. Mm. Then she went sniffing around to everybody who was in the circle, to all the other people there. And then she kept coming back to you, not me at all, not me who's brought her up, to you for reassurance throughout the whole of this time. But the interesting thing is, you were asking questions to the group and then to me. The first one being, what is her job? And I just thought, how weird that you can give a domestic animal that I just pat and say, sit there, do this, eat this, that you can assign a job to your pet. And that's the basis, isn't it, for a lot of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're assigning jobs to the animals. I think there are certain animals, certain species of animals on the planet that are here to help us along as human beings. I certainly don't think that all species are here just for us. I think that would be arrogant to think that. I think, you know, a lot of species are here for themselves. But those that are living close to us, you know, the dogs and the cats and horses that we interact with a lot, certainly from my experience, having communicated with them, are here to help us along emotionally, physically, spiritually. So I often ask, you know, what is your job? And some animals will say, you know, particularly dogs, they will say, I'm just a companion. And it's as simple as that. But others will have much more, you know, much more in-depth answers.
And what was interesting is that it was an overall opinion from everybody that my dog's job was to entertain and to bring joy and happiness. Because she's a bulldog, people laugh and smile when they see her. But as she went, she kept going around the centre to be patted and moved on. That's what she did.
Yes, and it was funny. It was interesting.
And she does that. Mm. If I walk down the street, she just go in a park. She won't run to dogs. She runs to people to be patted and bring them joy, which not all dogs do.
No, bull breeds are far more into people, though, than into other dogs. And that's well known with bull breeds, yeah, specifically.
I also think that what she was doing is she was uniting the group. Mm. She was certainly showing you that she approved of what was going on. And what I also thought she was doing, from my standpoint, is that she was raising the vibration, which animals do a lot by bringing the joy. They raise the vibration, and that makes communication much, much easier for beginners.
Mm. We then kept, this is the fun, there are so many things that happened that afternoon. We kept her best friend, which is Anna's bull terrier, miniature bull terrier, Molly, in the car. Because, you know, it was too much for the two of them to suddenly, you know, invade this church
hall. They proved when they were both in there running around like complete nutters.
They were excited.
They were very happy together.
But we brought her in, and then, and what was the message that she gave to you, P, when she came in?
She was really annoyed with me, actually. Because she hadn't been invited to be a guest teacher. Mm. So when I first started to communicate with her, she wasn't really having any of it, and she was giving me what I call bum steers, giving me accurate information at all.
No, she was giving me bum steers, red and green tartan bed.
Making me look really silly. And then she eventually shared with me what was going on, that she was upset. And so as soon as I apologised, it was fine, and she then jumped on me and was very affectionate with me, and we were all friends again.
Can you pop the headphones on? We're getting calls. We won't take too many calls, but we will take some. So if you're quick, you'll get on, OK? And the number is 020-722-42000. First of all, let's go to Chris, who's in the Elephant and Castle. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Very well.
Good. 2 points. One is I was just speaking to... what's his name?
Pete.
I had a cat who's dead now called Grommy, who was sat on by the dog, and I still don't realize, I still don't know exactly what happened apart from he got pneumonia and died. And also I've got six cats now, and they all have funny habits, and one of them has a very bad habit of fudding about the place when he's got the hump and basically gives you verbal abuse.
I love the way got the hum. So what are you asking then? Are you tell me, be specific, Chris, about what help you'd like.
Helping what actually happened to Grommy, for starters, and helping try to work out what's happening between the family of cats, i.e. like why they're getting stroppy and why they're fucking living daylights at each other and why one goes about fudding and talking to me.
Mm. I suppose, P, the thing is, you until you see them, you won't know, will you? Because you're not, you know, a behaviourist. It's like you don't... There's not an overall umbrella answer to that, is there?
No, it's not a simple answer. I think I certainly wouldn't know what happened with the dog and the cat. I think with cats, which is just a behavioural answer, very general, is that some cats don't like living together. You know, they want to have the house to themselves. Mm. So that could be what's going on, a really simple way that, you know, these cats just don't want everyone there.
Yep.
I mean, but they can be quite cruel in that way, cats. Chris, thank you very much indeed for your call. Thank you for that. There was one of the examples in your book, and this is what had me in absolute tears, also because I know the people involved, actually. Two of my good friends, Laura and Belinda, whose cat, Stuart, died. Now, I knew Stuart had died, and I dismissed it as, oh, well, their cat's died. You know, I never thought it was a big deal at all, even though I knew that it was taking a long time. He was taking a long time to die. Do you know what I mean? I never, ever gave them the significance, I suppose, of their cat dying until I read it in here, and I just thought... I'm going to cry if I start talking about it now. Because the way you communicated with their cat was, this cat, you know, this cat said, don't worry about me, worry about them. You know, worry about them, because this house needs laughter and love and everything else. And I will hang on until this, gosh, I am going to cry. I am going to hang on until this happens. And I know that happened, you know. I know before I read that, because I know this couple. And it sort of released something in them, didn't it? You meeting their cat.
I think it was Stuart that released everything. I mean, he's just an amazing cat. He's a really wise cat. And the benefit of having communication with him is that he was able to give messages to them directly about, you know, himself, his illness, that he was always very, very positive, even though he had tumours and was dying of cancer. And he was very good at giving them advice, personal life advice as well. I mean, he was just an amazing cat, great strength.
And you could understand, actually, because lots of the emails that have been sent about you to me today is how people have dealt with the you know, the devastation of losing a pet, which is something that Mel and I were talking about last night when we knew you were coming on. And I think you'd met him before his death. They dealt with his death really well, actually. You know, it was like it was such a release for them, but it wasn't as devastating emotionally as it would have been.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that that is the case when I'm communicating with animals for people, and then they start to get ill, and before they die, it's always quite comforting for them to be able to hear from their animal as they're going through that process. But it's always from the animal. It's the animal that is doing the healing through the communication. I'm just, you know, facilitating that.
Right.
One case study that really moved me in the book, I see his photo here, is Ricky, the Spinoni, who I cried buckets over this chapter. In fact, read it last week before we came on air, because Ricky is reincarnated, isn't he, into another Spinoni now called Phoenix?
Yes, that's right.
And I just so want to believe in that. I mean, Molly's 8 now, and the time has come where I have to be sensible and realise that she is halfway through her life, if everything goes according to plan, maybe a bit more than halfway through. So, yeah, you know, it's a big issue, and it's hugely interesting to me to learn a little bit more.
That now explains why our last guest last week, Rupert, who's the scientist who'd written on telepathy, in the middle of the interview, Anna went, "Do you believe in reincarnation?" And he was literally thrown. He went,
"I know."
It's because she just read your book.
So, yes, so... Please, yes, discuss Ricky.
Discuss Ricky. Well, Ricky's amazing because 6 months before he died, he told me, "I'm coming back." And he gave me the exact details. And this is the first time I'd experienced this, was with him. It's not actually that commonplace that I get these sort of communications. But he said to me, "I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back as a female. I'm going to be the runt of the litter. I'm going to be a Spinoni puppy from a breeder, but also a breeder that rescues. And my guardian, who's called Lynn, she's going to know it's me because I'm going to run up to her and I'm going to bite the little finger on her left hand."
I mean, so specific.
I mean, that's a lot of detail. And then after he'd gone, he was able to literally, you know, give directions. "This is where you've got to look," which was the one thing that was missing from my communication with him. And Lynn managed to find him. And as soon as she turned up in the car, she heard screaming, a puppy screaming. She walked into a room. She found the puppies that were the same colouring as Ricky. And from the back, a puppy came... I mean, literally charging through all the puppies, 14 puppies, brothers and sisters, launched herself to the front of the wire and clamped down on Lynn's left hand little finger. And it's when Lynn picked up the puppy, Phoenix, she stopped screaming for the first time.
And she was at the workshop on Saturday, wasn't she? Wasn't Lynn there?
Lynn wasn't there,
Oh,
no.
I thought she was.
No.
Right, let's go to Neil, who's on the line in Chertsey. Hello, Neil.
Hi there.
Right, yes, talk to us.
Right, I've got a bull terrier as well. He's a lovely dog. He's great inside. He just has issues with other dogs outside.
Right, yeah, that's very common.
It is indeed, yeah. I'm wondering whether this sounds bonkers to me, to be perfectly honest, but I wonder whether this could help me relate to him and sort out exactly what it is that he doesn't like outside.
Yes, what I would do is I'd communicate with him, and then I would ask him, you know, what's going on. So... in a communication, if you had any questions, you know, you would ask, you'd say to me, "Can you ask, what's the name of your dog?"
Woody.
"Can you ask Woody why he's like this? Why is he behaving like this with all the other dogs?" And then I would put that to him. We'd receive his answer. And then often by hearing from them directly what the issue is, then you're in a position where you can move forward to resolve it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so how would I go about going further with that then? I'd have to attend a class or...
I think the best thing is if you look at P's website, that's, you know, all the classes are there and more about her as well is on the website. We'll give out all those details. Neil, thank you. I'm really grateful you phoned because I'll tell you something. There are going to be people listening thinking, oh, Lord, you know. But listen, just listen. Even if you're not an animal person, you're probably a humane person. And if you're humane, then you will... some of this will rub off, I promise you. Neil, thank you for calling. This is from somebody else who says, our cat went missing 13 months ago. Would it be beneficial to have a session with P? Would there be any point, P, in that?
Yes, that's one of the other things that I do as an animal communicator. I track missing animals. It's the hardest skill. I have to admit, I'm not always successful. And sometimes I, through the communication, I have a gut feeling that the animal's passed over. But there are cases when I can find animals. And there's a story in the book about Marmite, who's a Jack Russell, who was missing for 7 days before I was asked to track him. And I managed to find him within an hour, even though his guardian lived 100 miles away from me. And he literally told me that I'm down a very deep shaft, I'm surrounded by concrete, there's water over my pores. And he'd been stuck down a 12-foot disused canal shaft for 7 days and seven nights. But we got to him in an hour.
This is an email from Mark in SE1. He says, in terms of evidence, Joe, I just want to add my support. P has worked for me with two of my dogs. The first time she came around, I had a tough time accepting all of this. I was a little bit sceptical, but more than anything she said was when she came over, she actually had a notebook which had a drawing of the complete layout of our flat. Curtis, our dog, had described it to her perfectly in advance.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
That's something I often ask for as well, so that when I get to someone's home, I can really check whether I've got a good connection with the animal. If you know, my pictures match up, then I'm confident.
Fantastic.
So there you go. She says, he says, just the other week, P communicated with our current dog, Roxy. Roxy described my wife's mother's medical condition incredibly accurately. I'd told P that she had a stroke, but nothing else. And yet Roxy was able to tell her that my wife's mother had a right brain stroke, that her left side was affected, her left leg was posing the trouble. She was absolutely spot on. This was all remote communication between them. Roxy had never seen my wife's mother since the stroke. P has never ever met my mother-in-law. Even after hearing many of these amazing communications P's had with both of my dogs over the past few years, I still find this medical connection incredible. We've run out of time, girls. We've done an hour on this. The best thing I can say is if you want to find out more, if you are completely engrossed and interested in this, the best thing to do is log on to P's website, which is
www.animalthoughts.com.
And many of the case studies are in the book Heart to Heart, which has just come out, by the way. You need a tissue if you see.
You do need
you
sit a tissue.
And read those, yes, as well. Roger Mugford was going to phone in. He may phone in later in the night. So if he does, we will put him on air. Other animal news from you, Anna.
Right.
We just have a quick couple of ones before we go into the travel. I have to be really, really quick.
Right, OK, well, a lovely one, actually, straight back from Afghanistan, is a gorgeous little Labrador called Trio, who is the 23rd animal to win the Dickin Medal from the PDSA for his huge, enormous loyalty and bravery out in the war, saving loads of soldiers by detecting nasty mines that were planned to go off and, you know, kill the soldiers. And yeah, he's lovely. He's now retired and living with his soldier owner up in Rutland somewhere.
So that's a nice bit of news on which to end.
Yeah, nice bit of news.
Thank you very much indeed, Anna Webb. Thank you, P. Horsley. Hopefully you'll come back, P. Anna's always here on a Thursday, hopefully you'll come back. If you couldn't get on and there were other calls, then the best thing you can do is email P or email me and I will forward them to her. Thank you very much indeed.
Right. Thank you, Joe.